Good evening. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father,
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Beloved David,
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home. Be thou the only king. Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peace, bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
Have Ram Nam with Prem for about 5 minutes. end of a busy day for lots of people, let's start with the energization exercises, the simplified one. So sitting up straight, feet on the floor, and we're going to hold each body part as we add another one. We're not going to do individual. So the left foot, hold to low, medium, high, and hold it high. Right foot, low, medium, high. Left calf, low, medium, high. Right calf, left thigh, right thigh, abdomen, lower abdomen, left forearm, low, medium, high, right forearm, left upper arm, low, medium, high, right upper arm, buttocks, low, medium, high, upper stomach, low, medium, high, left chest, low, medium, high. Right chest, low, medium, high. Left neck. Right neck. Back of the neck. Front of the neck. Hold till it's all vibrating. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exhale. And release. Feel the energy flowing to all the parts of the body, particularly the brain, keeping you awake and ready. This is a reading from one of David's blog postings. God has been filling my time and life to the full during our desert stay. We are currently at a state park near Tucson, Arizona, a lovely spot surrounded by a forest of saguaros and views of the Picacho Peaks. Even though there are nice hikes here, God has not let me venture out from this living space. The way he works in this form is extraordinary. And I am in constant awe of what he does. This recent past has been a battle with astral powers and entities. There was a time during my mystical crucifixion when these entities were prevalent. Following Mother's example, I kept my mind on God, determined to have his light and power first, middle, and last. This last week, there have been times when the fight has been fierce. But I have no fear of them or what they can do, for I know that light is greater than darkness, love eradicates fear, and peace transcends mischief-making and turbulence. During the evening hours a week ago, I felt a tremendous burning on the back of my neck. There was no outward reason for this. God told me this was a dark astral force at work. It left a red burn mark and several puncture-type wounds that remained for much of the week. The initial pain was terrific, like being branded on the inside. The after effect was a constant pain that gradually subsided, along with the marks healing. God let me know that this was all connected with a dear soul who needed some help in their experiences and coincided with the tragic event where school children were murdered. It is powerful and wonderful how God works in this way, even from great distances. Later in the week, a strange astral force stung the back of my hand with pins and barbs. Nothing material could be seen to cause the sharp pain. During the same period, I was aware that astral forces were trying to gain entry. All of this in an item that simply disappeared. It has made this quite a week. Mother spoke of battling these forces and her powerful declaration that she would not allow these forces to prevail. With absolute focus on the light, there is no doubt about the outcome. God will prevail. It is a matter of striving forward and keeping him first. There was a time when Papa said that recent strange things had been occurring, and Swamiji said, "Only lately, Papa?" In truth, God's work always keeps things interesting. There is nothing I would rather be doing than his work. to be his instrument, and even if it takes me to places that challenge me to the core, it is only an opportunity for him to demonstrate it, his ultimate power and intelligence for overcoming. Is there any place that God is not? He is everywhere present, even in his greatest darkness. Look deeper and behold his light, the firstborn of all creation. I'm going to read that last part again. Is there any place that God is not? And keep in mind, this is after David's talking about the astral forces. He is everywhere present, even in his greatest darkness. Look deeper and behold his light, the firstborn of all creation. In ancient days, there was a Silk Road route between China all the way to Italy. Silk, symbol of refinement, and horses, symbol of power, were highly sought after and traded. In addition to spices such as pepper, at one time saffron was about the same cost per ounce as gold. It made for lucrative trade between East and West. Deep within each of us lies a route of surpassing refinement and power, a rare gift that gives savor to life. This inner route is to be found in the spine and the brain in multiple layers. These routes run north and south, for the base of the spine is the South Pole, the top of the head is the north, behind the back is the west, in the front is east. After running north from the base of the spine to the base of the skull, the route turns east and travels through the brain to the star of the east, at the point between the eyebrows. Then it turns north again and travels to the top of the head. A circuit is created along this route, and thus there is an exchange as life force moves round and round. There is both power, life energy, and refinement, bliss in this movement. While a value could be placed upon goods traded in days of yore on the Silk Road, the experience of God in the Silken Road of the spine and brain are beyond compare and thus invaluable. The Silken Road is the pathway to the gold of the spirit. In our relentless search for lasting happiness, it alone is the fulfillment of our heart's desire. As one can be a connoisseur of fine foods, drink, or music, so may one become an aficionado of blissful God experience. There are no limits to the varied expression of bliss and the presence of God. The Silken Road of the spine and brain become a never-ending variation upon a single theme, and thus is bliss a definite experience, indefinable from every other sensory or subtle pleasure. Still, it is a constantly new exploration of blissful vibratory notes. This morning, I sit and watching the sun slowly lighten darkness into a rosy aura. The Om sings its song of many notes. The eyes close and the bliss plays along the spine. The thought of the Silken Road arises in the mind to describe the smooth flow of bliss in the spine and brain. The desire to share this with one and with all wells up inside of me, to describe in order to awaken, to think upon others in order to convey this experience, to collapse time and space so that no barriers exist between I and thou and his blessed children. The curse of leaving the garden of God is lifted. The redemption of the soul is at hand. Baptized in living waters and barren no more, a prayer spontaneously erupts in my mind as a picture of living waters flowing into and lifting all creation into native spirit. Separation but a dream once dreamed long ago. At one time in life, getting up for meditation would mean the end of this blissful music of the infinite, but now all life are varied parts of the Creator's composition, an orchestrated explosion of the Holy Ghost. O stalwart brothers and sisters, followers of the Silken Road, know the kingdom of heaven that is only to be found within. Experience the bliss supreme of life within and without as an unending symphony of his glorious presence. I want to stop there and have us just become aware of the spine. This is a difficult time in the Northern Hemisphere. Darkness is headed our way and it's heavy. The days are short. The light is hard to come by. And we know that this is going to be upon us for the next month or two. And the body feels it. The mammal body feels the idea of going into hibernation, of reclusing, of surrendering to rest, to sleep, to isolation. And yet this is when we can do our greatest work in God. When the darkness is the heaviest, when the blanket of complacency, when the weight of despondency starts to fall around us, when seasonal affective disorder is at its greatest strength, this is when we can look for the light. And we can start with the spine. We go through our days focused on the physical, driving, working, cooking, sleeping. But when we take a moment and concentrate on the spine, we can start to awaken something in ourselves. We just start to feel the spine. Be aware of the space where the spine is. Feel the gentle tingling in it. And if you don't feel anything, I want you to let go of the consciousness of the room and the consciousness of what you have to do tonight and the consciousness of what you did today. And as if you were a surgeon, I want you to just focus all your attention on the spine, the cerebral fluid, spinal fluid that's moving up and down the spine, allowing messages to go from your brain out to the nerves in your hands, in your body. Become aware with all your focus that there is movement there. That there is life there. Our spine is not like a dead tree trunk. It's like a living stream of consciousness, a flowing river. Nothing can happen if the spine is severed. So just become aware of just how much is occurring in that area of your body. And again, if you can't feel it, I want you to focus on it more greatly. And talk to your mind about everything that's happening there. And then naturally allow that area to expand. The spine has a limited, narrow area. And I want you to allow your consciousness to expand beyond that narrow physical spine to the subtler spine, the Sushumna. This is just beyond the spine. It may be a few inches, it may be quite large, like a tube, like a pipe. But it will be energetic, not hard. You can almost think of it as a column of air or a column of light. A warm column, like when you walk past where a heater is blowing and there's just a very concentrated place that you feel the warmth and then you step out of it. Start to become conscious of that. And continue to breathe. Don't hold your breath. And notice where that travels to. When we think of the spine, we think of a straight up and down space. It goes up and down the back. To become aware of the movement through the back of the skull and to the ajna. If it feels like there's no movement, I want you to allow that place to expand. And it may go way beyond your head. When there's no movement, it's because we're contracting. And it may be now the attention brings your consciousness to just from the medulla to the ajna. And that's okay. You can let go of the Sushumna and the spine. Or it may be that they all feel very integrally connected. But just notice that movement. For me, I'm experiencing it as a pulsating movement, not so much a flow like a river, but more of almost like a heartbeat of it going back and forth in the brain cavity. Now I want you to concentrate on the ajna. And I just want you to breathe. And if it feels right to take big, deep breaths, you may do that. If it feels like you're staying very shallow and slow in your breathing, but just bring that focused attention to the ajna, the point here between the eyebrows. And allow your gaze to soften. Allow that space to soften and open. Don't try and see anything, but just keep all your concentration in that place. in an attentive and vigilant way, not in a strained or forced way. So as if you are a sentry looking over the hill. Your gaze is distanced and it's spread wide. If you find yourself tensing, take a big, deep cleansing breath. This is where we look for the light in our Kriya meditation. And be aware that light, when it's spiritual, does not necessarily need to be seen. It can be felt, it can be heard, it can be sensed. So notice what you feel when you bring your attention to and through the ajna. In that deep, focused, there's nothing more important in the next 60 seconds. Nothing calls your attention but looking for this light, the feeling of light, the sensation of light. When you're ready, bring your consciousness back to the room. If you found stillness or bliss, a sense of lightening, a sense of deeper consciousness, greater expansion, try not to let go of that as you re-enter. The way we do that is not by clinging or grabbing, but remaining open to whatever peace we experience. and opening our eyes and becoming conscious of our surroundings. We can stay in that peaceful state. I'd like to ask if there's any questions or comments on that. Or on this meditation practice. If it's coming to you, it's your responsibility to speak up. God's using your voice to help you and someone else learn. This time of the year, it's very interesting that this is when the build-up to the birth of the Christ is. And that there's cave, you know, the Christ is born in the manger, which was a cave. That there's darkness, that, you know, he's born at night. All of these are indicative of what we experience as human beings in this plane. We go into these places of darkness, and it's not to punish us, it's not to make it harder for us, but it's to strengthen us, to give us a time for pause and calmness, the quietness of the dark. That we can bring forth this Christ child. And culturally, that's not what we're taught. Culturally, we're taught to soothe and medicate and sink into binge watching and binge drinking and binge eating. All these things that numb us to the discomfort that we experience as this weight starts to come down on us. But we're taught to look for the light. And indeed, the only thing that can defeat the darkness is the light. David tells the wonderful story of the room where darkness reigned for 1,000 years. Men would go in with swords and try and defeat it. They'd go in with cannons and try to defeat it. They did everything they could to try and defeat light, darkness as it reigned supreme in this room. A thought came to me today that it would be a child that would go to the window and throw open the shutters. And as the shutters are thrown open, light streams in and darkness is defeated in an instant. So this process of working with the spine and the ajna is really just throwing open those shutters. We just open ourselves up to that. Instead of trying to wrestle it, trying to slice it with a knife, this is not God, this is not God. We pound on ourselves saying, you know, why can't you be better? Why aren't you more focused? Why don't you do this better? Why do you allow these things to come into your life? And all we have to do is throw open the shutters. And God's light comes beaming in. But we feel the power behind that light. And we've lived in this darkness for so long. It's comfortable. We understand it. We know how to navigate in it. And the light is so powerful, it hurts our eyes at first. We don't know what it means. How can we exist in this great light? Surely it will burn us to smithereens, and so we keep the shutters closed. Out of fear, out of the unknown. But when it's so dark, we have nowhere else to turn, we start to peek out the corner of the window, and we see we are not burned, we are not turned to a pile of salt. So we start to let a little bit of that light in. Slowly, slowly, till our eyes adjust. And others start to come. Say, what is this? What is this? Others run from the room. But there is a attraction that those who are here feel. An undeniable attraction. Once we've seen the light, we can never be satisfied with the darkness again. We may fall back into it. We may climb back underneath the blankets, but always it will call to us. Always it will call to us. Another reading from David. Be an expression of what God wants. A unique feature of water is that you can find it in everyday conditions, in liquid, solid, and gaseous states. This triune character of water can be compared to the nature of God's creation on three different planes. Solid being the matter of the material elements of the world. Liquid references the fluid nature of life energy, and gaseous is the subtle causal ideal realm. I'm going to reread that. A unique feature of water is that you can find it in everyday conditions in liquid, solid, and gaseous states. This triune character of water can be compared to the nature of God's creation on three different planes. Solid being the material elements of this world, liquid referencing the fluid nature of life energy, and gaseous is the subtle causal idea realm. The vast majority of people are focused on the solid natural material of this world. Some see the fluid-like movements of life energy in and around things and people, and a few have the vision to see what cannot be seen by others. The thoughtrons, master's terminology, behind all that is, a causal realm that is much larger and more profound than all the other aspects of creation. We look about us and see crystallized life energy of this world, but there is so much more that is not visible to the naked eye. The three aspects of creation can be polluted just like water. Today, the residents of large cities in China carry open umbrellas when it snows. The snow as well as the rain is so toxic that it is a health risk to the uncovered. The material, energetic, and idea realms can also become toxic and manifest as disease and darkness of every description. An energy of darkness may form around someone depressed. The mind may become filled with wicked thoughts, or the body may suffer due to past wrong actions. The material-minded scientist says the brain manufactures the mind and the consciousness, that what we think and even who we are as a result of firing synapses. However, the spiritual scientist sees it quite differently. While it is true that a malfunctioning brain interferes with thought processes, such as a stroke destroys memory and blocks anatomical functions, the conclusion that the brain is the source of thought and awareness is a fallacy. It's interesting because David learned about the stroke, and it doesn't even actually block on anatomical functions. It just makes it unaware that that part of the body exists. The synapses are still firing between the brain and the affected part of the body, but the brain forgets that it's there. Back to David. Think of a computer programmer creating an operational system. If the hardware stops working due to a malfunctioning circuit, the computer will no longer be able to carry out its purpose. However, though the programmer may be frustrated by this lapse in his computer, he is in no way substantive way harmed by the glitch. Similarly, the soul operates through the physical form of a human body. And when disease makes the body unresponsive, the consciousness of the soul remains unchanged, although it cannot continue to fully operate in the body as before. And that is a simple, that works in the simple ways of us feeling like our bodies and our minds are more sluggish at this time of the year. It's not just from a diseased brain or from a disordered brain, but in all the ways that the brain doesn't function for our highest benefit. And so we have to remember, in no substantive way is he harmed by the glitch. Similarly, the soul operates through the physical form of a human body. And when disease makes the body unresponsive, the consciousness of the soul remains unchanged, although it cannot continue to fully operate in the body as before. So our light is still fully functional, no matter how dark things seem, no matter if we're being bombarded by negative forces or we're surrounded by things that we don't like in the world, the soul remains the same. And it is in meditation that we reconnect with our true selves and discover that. And that's why it's so essential for us, especially when we're feeling not drawn to meditation, especially when we're feeling pushed away from the path, that we drag ourselves back, even if it's literally kicking and screaming, and sit and connect to God, to the light, through our meditative practices. And if you can't get yourself to your meditation blanket, if you can't get yourself to sit in asana that's appropriate, do whatever you can. If all you can make yourself do is sit and chant for 5 minutes on your couch in front of your TV, take that. Take that as your win. Don't let the mind tell you that it's not enough. Don't let your lower self stop you from doing what you can, when you can, to connect to God, to connect with your higher self. Because it will lead you back to what you need. This isn't a out or a pass to not keep your time with God, to not keep your appointment, but recognizing that at certain times in our practice, at certain times in our path, we can have great, great resistance. And it's most common at this time before the solstice to feel the darkening, the resistance coming up, as the great light is emerging. And so just keep with it. Keep one hand on Mother's apron. Keep one hand on David's foot. Keep one hand on God. Back to David. The truth of this was demonstrated to me by my guru. Although she was deeply affected by multiple strokes, heart attacks, and a severe case of shingles in one half of her face, and she was not able to function in the body as she had before, she was still all that she had ever been in soul and spirit. Being disturbed by what I saw as she sat in a wheelchair, paralyzed on one side, open sores on the other, I went home to meditate and I demanded that God explain what was happening to my beloved teacher. For some time, I focused on the breath and the ajna in deepening meditation. Suddenly, I saw Mother with inner sight. She was beaming and more beautiful than I had ever seen her before. A radiant light went out from her in every direction as far as I could see. Through thought transference, she said, "Do you not know I am now in my light body?" And indeed she was, and is a brilliant shining light. And that experience, after that experience, I never again mistook Mother for a physical body. I knew she was so much more. She lived many years after that. And through sheer will, she regained so much of what she had lost during this terrible time. Mother and every one of us is not limited to the body. We have an eternal soul, our part of God that is not born nor does it die. I want to reread that. We have an eternal soul, our part of God that is not born and does not die. It cannot be burnt, drowned, or in any way changed or corrupted. No matter the choices we make, the bad things we may have done against ourselves or others, this pure element of divinity resides above the physical, energetic, and idea realms. Life, as we think of it, is the soul manifesting through the three bodies, physical, energetic, and causal. The purified body and mind are perfect instruments for the transcendent divine mind. And as a blessing to ourselves and to this world, go beyond the three realms. Seek out contact with the ever-pure, eternal self, not so that you can get God to do what you want, but that you may be an expression of what God wants you to be. So I'd like us to, again, turn our attention inward. And I'd like you to find that light that's residing within you. There is a spark of God consciousness residing in each one of us. If there was not, the body would be dead on the ground. So I want you to find that place within yourself where God's light resides. It may be a giant flaming fire filling up all of your consciousness and beyond, or it may be the tiniest spark. But it is there. You need not do anything to make it appear. Just become aware of it. And bask in that glow that resides within you. Remember, you may not see it. I rarely have visuals of things like this. But there's a sense of it, an experience of it. And if you find that place, Just sit in its warmth and expect that in paying attention to it, noticing it, it will very likely grow. It's different than tending a fire. It's more like revealing a fire. This is the light that cannot be quenched. You can imagine the old-fashioned gas stove that has the little holes where the gas comes out and they're lit. And you know that that fuel is coming from somewhere far, far away, flowing through pipes, coming. It's all connected, just as we are to the greater. When you feel the darkness settling in, remember to throw open the shutters. And if you cannot, if there's too much fear, then look inside and find your own light that you carry with you. So what is there to fear? It's already within you. And just allow it to expand, same way that as a flame, as a fire starts to catch on wood, there's no effort involved from the outside. It just starts to grow. Oxygen fuels it. The flame gets higher and brighter, burning more straight up and down. More purity. This is what we focus on when we feel that darkness. The darkness abhorreth the light, but it will never win. And with this message from Papa, fling away thoughts of depression, thoughts of dark foreboding, and unreasonable fears and doubts. Stand up with a bright face and a brighter heart, with the fullest consciousness that God does all things for the best of all. Papa. I think I'll read it again. Fling away thoughts of depression, thoughts of dark forebodings and unreasonable fears and doubts. Stand up with a bright face and a brighter heart, with the fullest consciousness that God does all things for the best of all. God always means well. Any comments or questions? Is everybody on the Zoom call still awake? Awake and ready.
Thank you, Jill.
And Jerry's awake.
Awake and ready.
Good girl, Judy.
Yeah, thank you, Jill. That was something I needed to hear tonight, all of it. So thanks.
Good. Well, it's interesting because I had something completely different prepared. I printed out the readings that I carefully selected, and I went to get them out of the printer, and God said, I'm going to pick. And I said, I don't think I'm attuned enough to know what you're picking. So I went for a nice long walk and came back and did this thing. And if it felt like the right one, if it felt like the wrong one. And then, so I had no idea exactly what we were going to talk about tonight, other than that it was going to be something about darkness and light. So I'm, felt very powerful. So let's finish with our closing prayer. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty
of
Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet. And surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Peace.
Bliss.
Amen.